We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. A little later in this half hour,
right,
you will hear former Phillies manager Gabe Kapler tackle the big issue of the day.
Oh.
If you are wearing a beard, do you also have a mustache?
I miss him.
He will, Al, he will attack it with in-depth with a reporter in the dugout. And this is why he's more fun than that robot Joe Girardi will ever be.
Love it.
And I'm ripping him, Al, after Girardi finally won a series.
Yeah,
he won a series. But we do have a rather large game tonight here in Philadelphia. You know how I know it's a big game, Al? Best-selling author, Yaron Weitzman,
yeah,
tanking to the top.
Yeah.
He will be in attendance tonight.
Oh, nice.
And you know what that makes me think? Weitzman is working on a sequel. Hi, Yaron!
Sequel? That's news to me.
Hold on, Yaron. That book was very successful. It was a great book. Are you going to write another one?
What's this one going to be called?
Well, I don't know. You're the author. I just figured you'd do more on it. It was a terrific
failed
book.
That's what I want.
The process failed.
There you go.
All right.
People need a happy ending. The happy ending might be out. I guess we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, let's see what happens. How big a blow would it be, Yaron, as somebody who chronicled the whole tanking era in Philadelphia? How big a blow would it be if in this one of Embiid's true prime years, they were ousted in the second round again?
Yeah. I mean, it's not great. The whole thing is you want to take advantage of the guys, the stars you have in the prime. And we know with Embiid and James Harden, you know, they had a legit shot this year if Embiid was healthy. I think you would agree as well, right?
Oh, without a doubt. Yes. But now I'm harboring many doubts.
Rightfully so. I mean, the Embiid thing, you know, I'm not an Embiid apologist. This season, he's been fantastic. The fact that I'm shocked that he was able to play the way he did. He came back the way he did and perform at the level. I think you can make – it's not even a hot take. Like, I don't know. Healthy? Is he the best player in the NBA? I think I might say yes, right? If you're asking, like, one game to go, he might be the guy I would choose. So he's just fantastic. And when they were all healthy, with Embiid healthy, and it kind of lifted Harden, and Harden could be sort of a point guard, and Maxey, and they all fit together, this was a championship-caliber team. And you don't want to lose. It hurts, and it's tough to lose that ability or that opportunity because of some injury.
Yaron, sure. You know Embiid. You were here when they tanked to get him. Explain game five to us. We saw 3 and 4 and how he got back out there and helped his team win. We don't understand game five.
I would say I don't know. How's that for a take? I don't know. But, I mean, I think we got to come a little slack. Like, this, I heard somebody, who was it? I think Zach Lowe on ESPN had a great line where he's like, it's like the Monty Python skit where they keep cutting off different limbs and the guy keeps saying, I'm okay. Right? That's kind of where Embiid's at, right? We had the thumb and then the orbital fracture and a concussion and then he fell on the back. It's like, I feel like the guy needs to be put in, like, one of those chambers for 2 weeks without, after the season's over, and just not move, right? And recover. So I'm going to cut him a little slack. And the concussion thing is weird. As someone who's like, I've had a couple concussions, which I'm sure you could tell based on talking to me.
Yes, I could.
Yeah, exactly. Like, those mess with you in weird ways. And, like, you have good days and bad days. And it just, I don't know. I'm going to cut slack for anyone coming back from a concussion. And to be honest, I was pretty surprised he came back as fast as he did from those concussions.
All right, Yaron, did he get shafted in the MVP voting?
No, not shafted. The MVP conversation has been like, you know, could he have won? He had an MVP caliber season, yes. So did Giannis. So did Jokic. Like, there was no wrong answer. There was no wrong answer among the three. And the idea that, like, we're going to say one, they're all great. They were all fantastic. So I don't want to say shafted. He had an MVP level season, but Jokic was fantastic too. I know people, there's been a narrative out there that's just fancy stats, which I guess is true, but what is it? The points, rebounds, and assists are not fancy stats. Those are basic box score stats, and Jokic is there. Listen, like, Embiid, there's no player, I don't think there's another player in the NBA who is essential to everything his team does on offense and defense, right? And Embiid led league in scoring and is basically a top five defensive player, and that's the argument. But Jokic was great this year, so I don't see shafted. But he could have won it, for sure.
All right, here's what I need to know. You were there for all this. So the Sixers acquired Jimmy Butler, and Jimmy Butler is a catalyst. And you're seeing now how he's leading the Heat. He is the heart and soul of that team. Can you explain to me how it didn't work out here and how the Sixers let him go when they knew what he could provide to them?
Yeah, the Butler one is it's a fascinating one of those fork in the road stuff moments. So a couple things, right? I think I've written this before, but one, Simmons' camp will say made it clear that they weren't so keen on Butler being brought back. If you remember, this was after the Toronto series, and Brett Brown had basically made a decision to put Simmons on the dunker spot down in the basket and basically hand the keys of the offense to Butler, right? Butler was basically the point guard, which we can all agree in hindsight and then at the time as well was the right decision.
Right.
So Simmons didn't necessarily love that. There was also the idea that, and this might be a little silly, but like if Butler was brought back, him and Brett Brown weren't exactly the best of friends, right? So if you brought him back, the chances were that Brown wasn't going to make it through the year. Brown had no issues. Brown made clear that he was cool and wanted Butler back if he could handle anything, but I think management was a little concerned about that. This was also the Al Horford became available, which I guess if Al Horford looked like he did now, as opposed to the past 2 years, that would have been a good deal. But the Butler thing's funny. Like, I've heard a story that basically people from Butler's camp told Josh Harris at a conference call that he was making a mistake, that by letting Butler go, he was going to break up a championship team, and then Ben wouldn't work out with Ben, and Butler was going to win in Miami, and Embiid wasn't going to be happy, and it sort of all came to fruition.
You're right. Brett Brown was in charge then. He was even making personnel decisions. He had just brought in Elton Brand. Does Brett Brown have the same evaluation if he's not personal friends with Ben Simmons' family? Is that a factor in why he favored Simmons over Butler?
Yeah, I don't think he was even favoring Simmons over Butler. Like, I don't think by the end, like, I don't know that the, I'm not going to say there's an issue. I don't know that there's a personal, like, I don't know that this was the Simmons-Brown family, like, they were having, like, barbecue together, right? I don't think there are issues, but I don't think that played a role. Again, Brown was okay having, Brown made clear to management that he was okay having Butler back. And I'll say this, Embiid has been a bit of a revisionist history from Embiid. Like, he said a few times that he wanted Butler back, and he said, I think it was this year, he said that was a mistake. We let Butler go for Simmons. He did not make that explicitly clear at the time.
Right? Ron, hold on. Back, yeah.
Stop. I'm going to fight with you now, all right? Because an author, but I think you have great respect for Keith Pompey, who covers the Sixers for the Acquirer. He wrote...
No, that guy's a bum.
He wrote that not only did Brett Brown not want to bring back Butler, but that he called other players on the team to get them to support his decision to favor Simmons over Butler. That he was so insecure about having to deal with Butler that he tried to get the team on his side. That is not a guy who wanted to coach Butler. Your information on this is incorrect.
I guess we can do it. I respect Keith. I have, let's say, different information. How about that? Maybe that's true. Maybe both could be true. How about that? Let's reconcile, right? But Brown might have been calling players, but my understanding is his management is that he made clear, like, nah, I can handle it. I want to win.
All right. Listen, Yaron, there's only one last question here, and it's critical because it would lead to a sequel book by you. All right?
Okay.
If the tanking era leads to zero championships, who do I blame first? Who's the number one person to blame?
Who is the number one? If it leads to zero championships, there's some good options there. You can go.
Come on.
I know you want to go Hinkie. The Colangelos. You got to throw the Colangelos in there, too. They were some. We're kind of giving them a pass.
Say it. Say it.
What do you want me to say? Hinkie? Is that
no,
the answer?
No. Hinkie was fine. He did a fine job.
Oh, stop it.
And even Colangelo had to. Come on. Say it. Brett Brown. Say it, Weitzman.
Brett Brown.
That loser. He's brought in here to lose, and that's all he did was lose. Say it, Weitzman.
Brett Brown. That's a good one. That's off the board. I like that. Brett Brown's like the middle manager who gets caught, like, in the email. That guy, I don't think he was a. I wouldn't say he's an amazing coach, but, like, I don't know. That guy was trotted out there to put out, you know, debacle after debacle, weird, you know, yicks and can't shoot and strange injuries and dancing shirtless, and Brett Brown has to be trotted out and burner accounts, and Brett Brown keeps trotting out there being asked to answer for it. I have some sympathy for him.
Your own Weitzman once again annoying Philadelphia. welcome to our city tonight, Your Own. Always a pleasure. Tag it to the top. Read it. It's awesome. Thanks, Your Own.
Thanks, guys.
The thing about tanking to the top is it's like having an encyclopedia.
No, it really is.
If you haven't read it, it tells you everything you need to know about it. The critical thing in that interview right there was Butler's camp calling Josh Harris to say, you're making a mistake. It will not work out with Ben Simmons.
Yeah. Well you know what? Call. And you know what? How much? Butler was here, what, half a year?
Yeah.
He knew. Yeah. Why did it take? See, this is why I keep going back to the family connection. Yeah. Why did it take the rest of the organization all that time to realize that Ben wasn't going to do it for them? Butler was here 4 months and he saw it.
And you know what the problem was? It's been reported. Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are too close to ownership. They were going on private jets to events. They were just, you know, if one got a private jet somewhere, the other one had to get one. They were too close.
There's nothing that could come good that can come out of that.
Yeah.
I mean, when you have that kind of connection with that relationship cannot be that close. It just cannot. I don't care how great the player is or how important the player is to the organization. You just can't have that kind of relationship. It never works. I saw it happen in New York. It's the worst.
Ruben Amaro. And that does not happen with John Middleton of the Phillies, right? Nobody gets that close.
Well, Bryce Harper runs the show.
I think that they have a closeness, but they're not going to dinner and
having wine
together.
No, they're not hanging out together, yeah.
Mike's on the line from Jersey. He can't wait for Game 6 tonight. What are you feeling, Michael?
I don't even know. I just found out at one of my pickups.
Yeah.
A guy I pick up from, his neighbor was at the game in Miami. And guy who's sitting next to was out at the club and said that he walked out the same time that Harden and a few other Sixers walked out around 8 o'clock in the morning.
Wow. Really? All right. So well, that wouldn't be good. Mike, that's a factor. I was playing this out in my head, and this is all courtesy of Billy King. Billy King said, beware when you go on a road trip to Miami. Wild nightlife, lots of stuff going on. The players have their spots.
A lot of options.
They like it. So, Mike, the Sixers win tonight, which I think they will, right? They fly to Miami. They don't play Game 7 till Sunday night. That may be a recipe for disaster. They may do that. They may party all night again.
There ain't no may about it, buddy.
Well, then their priorities are screwed up. Isn't the season more important than giving dollar bills to a stripper?
You would think.
Well, you've created a whole scenario in your head off of somebody you don't know.
I just thought of something cooler, Mike. Isn't it more important to win this series than to make it rain?
Yeah.
See, that's what they do in the strip club. They throw the dollar bills
out. Yeah, I don't think dollar bills with a basketball.
No, I think more like hundos.
Yeah, I don't think they were until 10 in the morning either.
Yeah, I'm not.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm reacting to what I'm hearing. Mike, who's winning tonight?
I think the Sixers win tonight by 15.
Who's winning the series?
I couldn't tell you, Ange.
All right. You know what? That's an honest answer. I like your answer, Mike. Mike, what, like an iPod, what don't we use anymore?
You know, this is a good one right here. Just because, you know, I watched a video 2 days ago of this little white dude. He's probably like 20. He was messing with a pod of orcas on the beach. And he was in about 8 inches of water. And one of those orcas came up and grabbed him, and he's gone now. So something we don't use anymore is common sense.
No, that's not.
Jesus. There was so much packed into that phone call. It's
going
to take a long time to.
We're more talking about kitchen appliances. We're talking about technological advances. Yeah. We're not talking about common sense. He used our contest out to make a statement.
Orca
That's
whales.
That's what he did. Orca whales and common sense.
Yeah.
215-592-9494. The wait is over. When we come back, I'll explain to you why I have a new reason to dislike Joe Girardi, even after he won the series in Seattle, and why, more than ever, I pine for a return. of Gabe Kaplan.
I'm a compassionate, competitive man. God.
I miss him to death. Mm-hmm. I may move to Frisco.
You can't rip him anymore.
All right. Well-
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Welcome back at 7:22. Ava Graham, how confident is this city in tonight's Game 6? What do we got?
Confident enough. Brought to you by Armin Cadillac. Be the first to place your order for the 2023 Cadillac Lyric from Armin on May 19th. Call Armin Cadillac or shop 24/7 at ArminCadillac.com. Who will win tonight's game at the Wells Fargo Center? 63% Sixers.
Wow. That is not great. Six out of ten home court?
Yeah.
Ooh, that is not, Al, that is not confidence.
Wow. Well, they did see the other game.
I mean, that's where they went wrong.
You watched that game, my goodness.
Wow, that was brilliant.
They're totally out of it.
All right, let's go to, I need us some, I'm going to lead into Gabe Kaplan here. You're going to love this, I promise. I'm going to start, Al, I have not been doing great on my sports betting recently.
Okay.
And Rhea keeps rubbing it in because she's on a hot streak, right? So I'm watching the game, and I'm seeing what's going on, and I'm saying, oh my God, this kid was 4-0, 1 point some earned run average for the Mariners, mm-hmm. and he got the bases loaded, and Hoskins got a favorable count. Mm-hmm. And I said out loud, I have it on some tape because my wife tapes my living room. Yeah, in case anything exciting happens there.
She hasn't checked that in a while.
All right. And his eye, Joe, that's not what's happening in
that's
that
what
living
she's
room.
Listening for.
How dare you say that? That was Ike Reese yesterday if you missed it. All right, anyway, so Al, and I'm going, he's going to hit a grand slam. I'm saying this out loud. Now, this is where if I could have found a way to bet that, that would have been, I would have made a lot of money on that.
Yeah,
I saw it before it happened. We were watching that, right, Rube?
I was.
Did you see bases loaded, fastball pitcher, Hoskins sitting on one? If he gets one in the zone, he's launching it. Did you see that
Especially
coming?
When he's hot. When he's
he
hot,
knew
he
it. He knew it. And sure enough, Al, please, I need a salami.
2-1 pitch. Swung on, belted. Down the left field line, hooking at the pole. It is gone. It's a grand slam for Reese Hoskins. Right down the left field line, he hooks it around the pole. And a huge swing for Hoskins, his fifth home run of the season, and the Phillies have a 4-1 lead.
I'm feeling good about that, Al. I want my team to win.
Yeah.
And I'm watching this kid falter, Bailey Falter, and he looks really good. And Tom McCarthy's there, and he's warning you. Tom McCarthy's going, we have already been told Joe Girardi has set a limit of 65 pitches. And it is a limit that is a cardinal rule in the binder carried around by Joe Girardi.
There is an ambulance standing by in case he goes to 66.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Falter gets two outs in the fifth, one out away from a win. A W for a young pitcher out. Confidence builder, right?
Yeah.
It was like it was programmed. Coming out, Robot Girardi marches out, got to take about 65 pitches. Is that smart?
No.
Rube, is that smart?
I was a little surprised. That's all.
That's a no. It was not smart. All right?
So I know why he did it. But
no, I tell you why. Because now you will hear him, and you are going to hear a man who is not a man. He is a robot. He is a boar. Here is Joe Girardi.
I mean, the best case scenario was he was going to get through that fifth. That was the best case scenario, but it just wasn't meant to be. But he was fantastic. And he probably shouldn't have given up a run. I'm not sure.
That's a terrible run. Excuse me. it was not meant to be because you didn't let him do it. There wasn't anybody on base. He was fine. You didn't have to take him out.
No.
Why did you take him out? Because there was a number that was, if he went to 70, would he have died? Would they have needed medical personnel to defibrillate him on the mound?
What's interesting is that the pitchers no longer care whether they win games or not.
That's
the strangest thing.
I care.
They are prepared for this to
happen.
They're
programmed.
They are programmed to do this. And this is where baseball has lost its way, in my estimation. If I'm a pitcher, and I know I have one more out to go, I don't give him the baseball.
Tell him to get back to,
I don't give him the baseball. But now Bailey Falter's not going to do that.
No, I would.
To Joe Girardi. But can you imagine if Doc Halliday was standing there
Charlie Manuel tried to do it. Psychology.
It just listened.
That man, Al, I can't stand you. Even when they win, I hate him.
Well, I don't hate them, but I don't like the whole attitude. They've turned Major League Baseball into Little League Baseball. They now have, like watching the Little League World Series, he can't go this day, the next day. It's what they've turned rules.
And I think that the performance people have changed the game to the point where it's no longer baseball for me.
I find Joe Girardi excruciatingly boring during the games. When it's really robotic, it's all planned ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And I find him every bit as boring after games when he says nothing that I like.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why I would like to announce right now my deep, deep affection for former Phillies manager Gabe Kapler. I want to give you a very recent. This happened this week.
Yeah.
Gabe Kapler, there's something going on called Mustache May.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I guess, on the West Coast. We don't do that stuff here. All right.
Who's she?
There's a woman. The woman is interviewing him about Mustache May, and they're getting into a debate about. See, he has a full beard,
and his
argument would be that included in the beard is a nice mustache.
Okay,
it's part of the beard setup. And they got into a philosophical disagreement. See, this, Al, is the stuff you're never going to get this from Girard. This is why I miss him. Listen to him spar with a reporter over mustaches.
So this is sort of like the, is a hamburger a sandwich?
Oh, it's a very
question.
Important.
Like, hot dog, is that a sandwich? Like, where does that, okay, so this is about mustaches, since it's Mustache May. And I was talking to some of our players who have full beards. If you have a full beard, do you also have a mustache?
No.
No. Okay, so here's my counter to that. If you go to the barber shop and you have a full beard, the barber may say, would you like me to leave your mustache a little bit longer? Doesn't that mean that you have a mustache?
No.
We have a lot of players who wear full beards. In my opinion, they are participating in Mustache May.
It's absolutely unbearable.
I miss him. I cannot turn to
Mr. Al Morganti.
I don't care if he goes 162-0. I cannot listen to it.
What do you mean?
I just can't listen to it.
That was a philosophical decision on whether or not a beard also includes a mustache.
I would rather listen, and I never did, to chemistry class.
No.
What I enjoyed most is
love him. I want him back.
Is the woman.
I want him back, and the woman sparring with him.
No.
She's sparred with him. She's saying, no, it's
she's
not a mustache.
She's prodding him on. She's moving him forward.
And that is awesome.
She's all moving him forward.
Oh. Ruben Amaro Jr.
Yes, sir.
Man to man.
Yes.
Man to man.
Girardi or Kapler?
Here, Girardi.
Girardi or Kapler?
Girardi.
Force multiplier.
Oh. Al?
I would rather have Brett Brown. I would take Doug Moe.
Rhea Hughes.
Yes.
Girardi or Kapler?
Oh, Kapler in a heartbeat.
We'll bring out a curveball machine.
Oh, my goodness.
Gabe, we love
so
you.
Full of it.
We were wrong, Gabe. Come
you
back.
Guys are so
come
full.
Back, Gabe.
I do like goat.
Timothy's on the line.
Niner gang.
All right, enough, Joe. Timothy's on the line. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Angelo, how you doing?
What are you feeling for tonight, Timmy?
I'm feeling sixes tonight, man. We're going to win tonight.
All right, so then you get 3 days before game 7. I just don't have any faith that the Sixers will play well in Miami. Do you?
Well, we'll get there when we get there. I'm worried about tonight. We're going to win tonight.
All right. You think the crowd will be up for that game?
Absolutely.
Do you think Embiid will be up for the game?
Absolutely.
Do you think Butler will be up for the game?
Sadly, absolutely. Yes, he will be.
That's the thing. See, Butler, you don't have to worry about Butler being up for the game.
No, you don't.
When you're watching these games, Tim, I keep saying just watch the game. You can see how they're feeding off the energy of Jimmy Butler, aren't you?
Yeah, I agree, yes.
So why isn't he here, Tim? He was here. Why did I get rid of him to make Ben Simmons happy? Could you explain that to me?
Because of that idiot Brett Brown.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is the thing. Brett Brown is a freaking loser. It's a loser. Al, that guy is like you got a rash that won't go away. He went away, but the rash stayed. It's like prickly heat.
Well, they brought him in to go over a whole culture of losing.
Yeah.
So it was crazy to expect that they had a new culture.
That's exactly right.
You had to fire him the minute the process was moving forward.
They thought he could flick a switch and then he'd be a winner.
No, because you've already been there. You were the guy that represents that.
Timothy, this is not good. Do you understand? Doc Rivers himself is saying that his team was not up for a critical game in the playoffs. Why weren't you up?
I don't know, but I'll tell you what, MB's going to be up tonight.
Yes, he is.
Big time.
He is, and I expect a fairly easy victory.
Oh, if they start well.
Now,
if they
keep
don't.
In mind, nobody in this city was telling you that the Sixers were going to get smoked in Miami except me. Because I am. What are you laughing at? I'm an authority on this stuff, Timothy. You're still laughing.
He must listen.
He knows about your
come in here to Mark.
Right. Angelo, I've been listening to you since I was 10 years old.
Thank you.
And I've been loving it ever since then. I'm so sad you're retiring, but I'm going to miss you.
Thank you very much. That's all right, nice. Timothy, give me something we don't use anymore.
Oh, of course, the Walkman.
A Walkman.
Oh,
that's a good one.
Well done.
That's a good one. Ruben Amaro will be judging. Again, this is Al. I don't feel respected.
Like, what do you mean?
When you've been around this long, all right, I have provided some very logical sports commentary today, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's more loved in this city, me or Ike Reese?
Ike.
By far, right?
Well, he played, not even close.
Played a game.
No, never mind. Played. He's more beloved as a broadcaster than I am.
Well, he was considered one of the best special teams players.
Yeah. Here's what I have done today.
Yeah,
I have, through diligent preparation.
Yeah.
Come up with very fascinating insights into the issues of the day.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, yesterday on the afternoon show, while John Marks is trying to do likewise, Ike Reese offers his best offering of a four-hour show.
On the air.
Listen closely.
Holla at you, boy.
Well, I would ask the rhetorical question of how do you come out with little energy and...
Oh, my God.
Joe, could you...
Is there anything funnier than that?
No. It's funny every time.
Every single time.
I hear it.
Hold on. I don't want there be any confusion. Joe, could you isolate that sound? Now, to update you on that, Al, he did acknowledge on a tweet, not that tweet, a separate tweet on Twitter, that was a anal expulsion.
What?
Anal expulsion.
I don't really love that phrase.
I keep a tough visual.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Is there funnier than a fart?
No, not to me.
Nothing in the world.
To me, nothing. But most people would say this is extremely lowbrow and that we're stupid.
Yeah.
And again, no argument.
No argument.
And we often quote Ike here. We play a lot of his stuff. Right. Right?
But now,
it's one of his finest.
Here's what I'm wrestling with.
Yeah.
I have worked all these years here.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I can be toppled by a fart.
Yeah.
You understand? I will offer all these intricate theories, mm-hmm. and then Ike Reese will come on, and he'll just let go, and he'll go, wow, I love Ike Reese, man. He's amazing.
Oh.
It doesn't seem fair.
No.
That's all right.
That's all I'm saying.
By the way, the only time a fart is not funny is when you walk behind Jonesy and get the old crap
I understand
dust.
That, but you know what? That. Unlike Ike, who waited 2 hours to acknowledge it, Jonesy owns it in the moment. Yeah. 215.
That is true.
Sometimes with pride. 215-592-9494. When we return, just so you understand, the now all the information is out is how close Embiid came to the MVP.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that close. Uh-huh. I'm going to give you the specific numbers of where it is. Is this the reason he's pouting right now? You decide when we return. All right, 741, this is information I think you're going to need before tonight's Game 6 here at the Wells Fargo Center between the Sixers and the Heat, between Embiid and Butler. Embiid did not win the MVP. Al, there's widespread speculation that it led to him moping in Game 5.
Right.
Do you think so?
I think it a little bit.
Had a little bit of an effect.
Yeah.
He had known previously, but once it became public, he became upset again because it was like, well, they snubbed me for a second straight year. Here's what's ironic about it. So last night, another great, great player was snubbed and played in the playoffs, Al. Giannis.
Yeah.
Giannis did not react the way Embiid may have reacted.
Mm-hmm.
Giannis put up 40 points in 40 minutes, and the Bucks beat the Celtics in Boston.
What a game that was.
And they willed. That was the same situation. 2-2, game 5, on the road, and Giannis won it. And now they get to go home in Milwaukee to try to close it out. Meanwhile, the Sixers are playing for their lives tonight because Embiid did not have a big game in game 5. The irony is, now that the numbers have come out, we were all assuming, well, at the very least, it'll be close. It wasn't that close.
It was not.
Jokic won the MVP for second straight year, Al. Total points, 875. All right? It depends. You get a certain number of points for first place, second place, third place. He got 875. Embiid was second with 706. All right? In the actual first place balloting, this is where you really get to see how the vote is thought. Jokic got 65 votes for first place. Embiid got 26 votes. Well, not even half.
No.
And Giannis, who's probably the best of the three since he won a championship last year, 9 votes. 9 votes.
Hmm.
Who would you rather have of those three if you could have any one of them?
It's a simple question. It's Giannis.
For me, it's probably Giannis.
It's Giannis. Because not only is he great, he is consistently great.
Yes, he is.
He will not have an off game.
Off.
It's not like, I was just said, last night, right, Ja Morant was out, right? Huh. What was the final score in that game?
At one point, they led by 55. 55.
Without Morant.
55.
So they would. That's another example of teams not putting everything into it.
Well, they just surrendered that, you know.
They surrendered.
Once they got a big lead.
We're not coming back from this.
Bottom line is, it's a schedule loss. Here's the bottom line. And I think Embiid had his best year this year. And I think that Sixers were nothing without him this year.
Oh, clearly.
No question.
But it doesn't matter. It's not important. What's important is what happens tonight. What's important is who wins this series. If you lost the series because you were moping about an individual award, shame on you. That is not what you're here to do. You're not here to win the MVP. You're here to win a championship.
He's got to get a little bit of a pass, though, because he was hurt.
I don't see. This is the other thing
he
with him.
Hurt.
I know he's hurt. I'm positive he's hurt.
He's always hurt.
Yeah. I don't know how hurt, because he milks every opportunity. When that ball hit him in the face, and I honestly said, dumbly, well, he's done for the night. Look at the pain he's in.
Well, a lot of people thought it, yeah.
He didn't even come out of the game.
He even shed a tear, didn't he?
He didn't even come out of the game. The announcer's going, oh, my God, he's coming. He's playing. You got to give him some love and some respect for that.
I mean, the fact that he had a concussion.
Rube, you want to know why I don't?
You can't tell. You got to give him some love.
No, here's the reason.
Tell.
These games have happened in previous years.
Right.
There was a game against Atlanta when it came out about the knee thing. His mindset, he is a leader. He has to, when that infects the rest of the team, his body language, I knew it in the first quarter. I text Joe Wechter and I said, his body language is terrible. They're losing this game.
Because of the MVP. I don't have another explanation.
It's happened in previous playoff series. We've seen it before.
That was no leadership. You just watch him, you watch Butler, and you see the difference. That's it. That's the difference. But that's a leader and not a leader.
It doesn't necessarily have to be about that, the MVP. It doesn't necessarily have
to
be.
Do you feel an obligation to cover for every athlete in this town?
I'm just trying. No, because, frankly, I don't like some of the things that have happened as far as the power of the athlete. But that said, you just don't know what's going on.
I really don't. And he is very theatrical. And even when he's hurt, I never know for sure how hurt. Because he really plays it up. John's on the line from Center City. Hi, Johnny.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
What's your read on this situation, John?
3 points I want to make about tonight, aside from the fact that Eric outcoaches Doc in every single capacity of every game.
Correct.
The first thing is, if Joel Embiid doesn't start hustling back and forth and become the first man back on defense, we have a problem. If he doesn't command the low post on offense, we have a problem. And if they do get by tonight, I believe they will. In the press conference, if he says too much, I'll lose all respect for him. He should keep quiet. If they get through tonight, go to game 7, headstrong, with intensity and the fight and the survival that I know he can come up with. But I'm a little bit concerned about how they come out tonight, because everyone in Philly seems to think that he's more important tonight than the actual coach, which I don't agree with. Coach has got to put him in the best position and the team in the best position to win, and he hasn't done that.
All right, John, I want to play this for you, because I don't even know when Doc Rivers was saying it yesterday if he understood that he was indicting himself, all right? But all right, this is game 5 of a series that we all thought you would win because this is your year. You got James Harden this year to win the championship. And you come out and you acknowledge that the other team wanted to win more than you did. This is Doc yesterday.
It's the same opponent. It just can't be the same results, and it can't be the same effort. It can't be the same a lot of things, and we know that. So it was a, you know, just watching it again and then again the third time this morning, it's a, it was a game you can't use a lot of tape from, you know, because there was not a lot of good there. But give Miami credit. I just thought they were so much more physical. I thought they played harder. I thought they were more locked in. And that's something that we should have been, but we were not.
All right. They played harder. The coach is telling you that. The obvious follow-up is why? Why did the other team play harder than your team in a game both teams desperately needed? That's, I would just love to know if he had an answer other than they were more motivated than we did. That's partly my job. It's partly the leader's job. They were not ready to play a game 5. I don't get it.
Yeah.
How, John, how do you make that statement without trying to explain why you did not fulfill the requirements of your position, motivating your team to play big in a big game?
Well, they're not going to have a plan B, because they usually don't even have a plan A.
If they don't put
some good coaching from either Sam Cassell grabs a couple of guys and starts telling, you know, there's got to be a little better coaching, because you know Eric is going to be smart and make the right adjustments. He'll probably keep the small team on most of the game, hoping that they're going to shoot a little bit better from three-point range than they did in the previous two games of the Sixers.
At
the Wells Fargo. Now, if that's the case, you have to defend that. You have to be prepared and make sure you play one-shot defense. Will he do that? I don't know.
John, you're a terrific analyst of the game of basketball. I love talking to you. John, thank you. What do we not use anymore, like an iPod?
I was thinking a payphone.
A payphone. We already have that.
Yeah, phone booth.
We already have that. What do we have so
payphone,
far?
Payphone, an encyclopedia, a roadmap, and a Walkman.
All right, listen, people.
Common sense.
Ruben Amaro is the judge.
Yeah.
He's a deep thinker. Well, there's so many things that we don't use anymore. They just discontinued manufacturing the iPod.
Hmm.
And they did it to themselves, Al, because they put all the good stuff from the iPod in your phone. There's no reason for an iPod.
I haven't seen one forever, so I didn't even know they still made it.
I actually have 2 or 3. I'm hoping someday they're
valuable.
But
what are you going to use them for?
I'm not going to use them.
No.
Vintage.
That's vintage. What you call like an artifact.
You're going to display them?
No.
I may display them if someone purchases them now. Display them to the guy and take the money.
And I disagree with you. I do not think an NBA coach's job is to motivate the team.
It isn't.
I think that's an impossibility.
So then what's his job?
I think that's why Embiid. That's why Embiid was in the target of the two guys on the set in TNT.
Yep.
Because they know that that's the guy that
moves. The leader.
You look at the.
You have to do it on the court.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
Nowadays.
And that's what my problem was with Embiid. I think that team lacked motivation because it looked like he, whether he couldn't physically or mentally, he wasn't
into it. No.
He wasn't engaged.
Isn't that crazy?
It was crazy.
When is he going to be engaged?
I don't know, but that's where you take
it. What is in his life more important than that game and that moment?
Maybe preserving his health. I don't know.
He was engaged in the game before.
Yeah.
Oh, very engaged. Yeah. The two games before.
No question.
Joe's up from the Northeast. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Angelo. Morning, team. I want to speak about the Phillies to Ruben when he was in charge and now.
Okay.
But in reference to the Sixers, in game four, Miami started playing defense. Fronting Adebayo was fronting Embiid, and the Sixers were trying to throw over top, and they couldn't do it. And that continued in Game Five, and also Embiid played a lot more out on top. He wasn't going down under, so that's what they needed.
But you understand, Joe? That's why he wasn't going under. You understand that? That once they fronted him that way,
right,
he was getting frustrated.
There's your coach.
Well, the coach is not going to tell Embiid what to do. He never has. He doesn't do it.
I mean, that's what they have to do because they're going to play him that way again in the next two games.
All right, hold on. I need you to ask Ruben tomorrow a tough question. Go ahead, because Ruben hasn't had a tough question today.
Okay. Ruben, two things. Once you were the assistant general manager, I believe, and then you were the general manager. Bill Robinson, bless his soul, he has passed.
Yes.
He was the hitting coach for the Florida Marlins. And from somebody I used to work with, he ran a batting clinic in Jersey, lived in Jersey.
Right.
Well, he wanted to be the Phillies hitting coach. And this was during the era of Boa.
Why didn't you employ Bill Robinson?
They picked Richie Hebner.
All right, stop. Joe, who cares? This is 100 years ago. Answer the question. Why didn't you hire Bill Robinson?
I wasn't there. I wasn't in the hiring mode that time. I was playing.
Jason's up for guys. Try to come up with something that other people would have some interest in. Thank you, Jason's up from the Dirty 30. Hi, Jason.
Good morning, Angelo. Morning, team.
All right, Jason. You woke up this morning. Did you feel optimistic or pessimistic?
I'm optimistic that we win tonight.
All right, based on what?
Based on that we're home and that the fans are going to be behind them, and I just really feel positive that we're going to win tonight.
All right, hold on. I have a question on the fans with Al Morganti.
Okay, then.
Al, do you expect that David Kelleher from David Dodge and Jeep will be courtside tonight?
I just hope he's not sitting next to the MyPillow guy.
Al, is it or is it not true, Al, that the first thing we'll be looking for when they pan the crowd
is
the smiling face of David Kelleher?
Better let him ring the bell.
He's done it several times
before. Well, he's got it on tape, yeah.
All right, because if that's the tone he set for the other 20,000 people, we may have a problem. Jason, in all the years you've gone to games, have you ever fallen asleep?
No.
You have not done that, right? Because you're excited to be at the game.
Absolutely.
Were you surprised when that man fell asleep courtside?
I was.
Okay. Just checking. So, all right, Jason, you are predicting a Game 6 victory and we go back. What about the Eagles' schedule tonight? You must be excited about that.
I am very excited. I feel like we're going to get like 13 wins.
Yeah. I got 12 right now, but I got to see the way it lines up. But you're on the right track. Al, that would be 13 and 4 now. Wow, 13-4? 17 games. Wow, that's a really good record. All right, Jason, give me something we don't use anymore.
A rotary phone.
Very good. Al, like I was watching a movie the other day where they dial that way, and it's weird now to watch it.
I was trying to explain to Clark what a landline and a rotary phone was, and he just couldn't process it.
It took them all those years to realize you could just do it with a button.
I don't know.
You had to go all the way around. Wow. And then you would have somewhere you had to go zero.
I still
zero,
remember my number. SA90440.
Really?
Yep.
Do you know I read something about Joe Biden? This is not political.
Everything is political.
No, this will impress people. Joe Biden, although he now uses a real cell phone,
yes,
has committed to memory the numbers of everybody in both the House and the Senate.
Really?
He knows their actual phone number.
Yeah, well, looking at things, it's all the same. 911.
See, now I went out of my way to not say a political comment, and then you said one.
Then he goes there.
He has, Rube, he has committed to memory every major number. I don't
That's
know.
A lie.
I swear to God, I do not know my own home number, my landline
Wexter
number.
Knows a lot of
numbers. I'm not shocked.
There's no way that's true.
It's true.
I couldn't do bingo.
I'm reading a book about it. Al, he knows every number by heart.
That's not true.
If he wants to call Nancy Pelosi, boom, 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 there's
one.
Nancy.
That's just not true.
No, all of them. Joe Manchin.
That's a lie.
All the lesser guys.
I don't believe
it.
I don't believe it.
Everyone.
No.
It's in a book.
Oh, good. Photographic memory.
215. I don't know about that. I'm just know he has committed to memory.
Coming up also in the next hour, we have an update on the Ike Reese situation.
Okay, good. We will be talking to Kylie Kelce in the 8 o'clock hour. And right next, after this break, Billy King. WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.